Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, September 17th, 2017. Our guest speaker today is David Lawson, and he spoke on boundaries. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, and Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5.
This morning we have two scriptures coming from the New Testament. The first of which comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times." Coming from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, chapter 6, our next New Testament reading. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think that they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for your pride. For all must carry their own loads. Please join me in prayer. As we prepare for the morning message, I want to open with these words from the 19th Psalm. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm happy to be here. My name is not in the bulletin at this point as delivering the morning message. It has Wendy's name. On Wednesday evening, Wendy took ill, and she couldn't continue working with Logos or the middle and high school youth groups. And she was expecting to be here today, but as of late yesterday, she was still not well, and she gave me a call around 5:30 or 6 p.m. saying that she was not going to make it, or it was very likely that she wasn't going to make it. So I made the mistake of asking, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "Could you give the sermon?" But as we heard before, Margaret had mentioned that I was already contributing a piece to this particular subject. And the topic of today's sermon is boundaries, and it is still boundaries. And it follows on, it's almost like the second in a series, because last week we did have a message on forgiveness, the beloved story of the prodigal son, with the prodigal son, the father, and the loyal older brother. So we had a little taste of one of the aspects of forgiveness, but forgiveness is a large topic. And as we go on here, we come to something else within the arena of forgiveness, and it's called boundaries. And when I found out what Pastor Wendy was going to be talking about, I volunteered. I said, "Look, would you like me to give a testimony on the topic of forgiveness? Because it's an issue that I've been dealing with, and within my family, we've all been dealing with big forgiveness issues lately. And I'm going to share some of that experience. And this is really about the work that God is able to do in people." Now, the title itself, Boundaries, comes from a book. It comes from a book that was published in 1992 by a couple of psychologists, doctors named Cloud and Townsend. I don't know too much about them, but I read the book. Okay, I borrowed it from Pastor Wendy earlier this summer, and she wanted it back so she'd have it in time to preach on it. So fortunately, there was somebody else in the congregation who had read it. But you'll notice the publication date is about 25 years ago. And so it comes from the early 90s. It's not completely up to date, but my understanding is that these doctors, Cloud and Townsend, are still sort of the go-to people on the subject. They're still considered to be the experts on this idea of boundaries. And it dates from a time when people were beginning to say no and not over-oblige themselves in agreeing to do too many different things, which was kind of unheard of, I think, in the church before that particular time. So they wrote this book about boundaries that kind of set the parameters between what you're actually obliged to do and what you actually have the option of declining, okay, without any type of shame or anything like that. So she asked me if I would come and share a little bit about not just what I was planning to share, but maybe expand upon this a little bit. I do think, after I spoke with her last night, that perhaps I should put in a little bit more preparation than I already had. Okay, after all, I only planned to speak for about 5 minutes, and I need to give you something a little bit more than that. So I thought, well, I'll go ahead and take a look at what forgiveness is. And so I went to, the renowned experts on all things for general knowledge, Wikipedia, and this is what I found out about forgiveness. So we can consider a couple of things. Number one, what is forgiveness? And two, what is not forgiveness? So I have some excerpts here which I saved to share with you. Okay, forgiveness, what is it? Forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense, lets go of negative emotions such as vengefulness, with an increased ability to wish the offender well. Okay, so that's what forgiveness is. The victim undergoes a voluntary change of attitude, lets go of negative emotions that would lead to vengefulness, and experiences an increased ability to wish the offender well. And it's, you notice how it says an increased ability? This is a process that goes on. You get better at it as you go, is the idea. That's what forgiveness is. Now, they differentiate that definition of forgiveness with what forgiveness is not, which includes the following five things. Forgiveness is different from condoning. Lost my page. There it is. It's different from condoning, that is, failing to see the actions as wrong and in need of forgiveness. Lost my place again. Okay, it's different from condoning, different from excusing, not holding the offender as responsible for the action, forgetting, which is removing awareness of the offense from consciousness, or pardoning, that is, granted for an acknowledged offense by a representative of society, such as a judge, and lastly, reconciliation, restoration of a relationship. And I think that that final one is probably the most important thing to understand about forgiveness, is that it does not necessarily mean that a relationship will be restored. It may be forgiveness and a parting of ways for everybody's mutual benefit. And it's at this particular point where I bring in my story of having to deal with forgiveness during this year. Okay. So what you have to understand is that I'm going to give you a little glimpse into what's going on in my life and in my soul. And I'll tell you a little bit about my upbringing here as a Presbyterian. I was raised in the Presbyterian Church, but when I was older and got into college, I was able to interact with more Christians from different types of traditions and, you know, engage in fellowship with people who were denominational, non-denominational, all sorts of different kinds of Christian practice. And one of the things I like about being a Presbyterian is that Presbyterians are so smart. Okay, we're very intelligent, and I really appreciate that. Sometimes you might interact with other Christians where there might be either a disregard for knowledge, learning, scholarship, science, etc., or even, in some cases, contempt for it, and I'm not quite so comfortable in those particular situations. Okay, so that's one thing I really enjoy about being in the Presbyterian Church. But something that I'd like to see us borrow more from other traditions is an ability to, when we suffer ill, to have the ability to be vulnerable and get help that we need. There are real problems that we have in our lives, and we prayed about those in the prayer confession. We have lied to one another. This is something that, you know, that people do. We have betrayed a friend, and we've been betrayed by others. This actually happens. But, you know, if you were in a Presbyterian church, you might not know that, because usually when it comes time we gather in prayer, what is it that tends to top the list? It's our medical concerns and travel mercies. You know, to be a Presbyterian, you know, if you think back to, you know, its prominence in America during the mid-20th century, it's kind of like, you know, a badge of middle-class respectability. And not a place where sinners can come in so much and be restored. It just doesn't have that ambience. It could, you know, we could sort of restore that. But I do respect the fact that we are so respectful in many ways of each other's, you know, space when it comes to personal things. But I'm going to share a little glimpse of something personal, not very specifically, but just enough to let you know that God is at work in restoring that which is broken in people and that which is broken in the world. Okay? So, in my family, over the past 11 months, we have weathered 4 major crises. Some related to one another, others kind of independent, but all of our problems seem to come along at one time. And these hardships have impacted our home, hampering our ability to work and to do well in school and whatever else our family has to do. We have been burdened with that. In fact, when I took a leave of absence in the spring, it was partly in order to get some respite from some of the pressure and stress that I had been under and our family had also been under. And almost all of these incidents of crisis involved individuals who either hurt or betrayed us. Now, I'm not going to identify these people or what they did to bring pain to me or to my family, but that's all right. I'll assure you that it's nobody that you know, so you don't have to wonder who did this or who did that or what it was. And this is the point here is not to try to figure me out or our life, but I come volunteering to give a message so that you can see the type of work that God does. The type of work that God does. And we see God acting in our lives. And every once in a while, what we have to do is we have to tell our stories so that you can see what God is doing. And that's the point here. So, we have a number of different people who we have had to forgive for different things that they've done. Okay? Varying levels of offense. But one particular individual offended us so heinously that I came to hate him. I hated him. What he had done was so awful, and he had hidden it for so many years. It was revealed earlier this year what had happened. But the first thing that I did when I found out about his offenses was I texted him 3 words, and I said, "I forgive you." The hate actually followed my statement of forgiveness. So conversation then followed in which he inquired, "What did I mean?" And I laid it all out for him, and then cornered, he apologized for all that he had done and all that he had hidden. So at this particular time, my forgiveness was an act of the will and something I did not feel at all. Okay, notice it was an act of the will, something I didn't feel at all. Now, I wrote this down before I looked up last night what forgiveness was. And if you remember the definition that I gave you of what it is and what it is not, you'll see a strong correlation to what I had already written, that I was learning on my own about forgiveness. So first of all, it was an act of the will, something I did not feel at all. I did not feel forgiveness. I did not feel compassion. I did not feel empathy. But I just simply decided to forgive. So following that time, I was frequently angry and resentful. I was anxious about running into this individual in public or seeing him at events with mutual friends, and I was legitimately scared that I would hurt him if I saw him. But I had made a deliberate decision to forgive, and I held on to that. Remember the letting go of any possible vengeance and so forth. So notice that what I willed was not what I felt. It was our feeling as a family that for the forgiveness to have full effect, we could no longer associate with this person or his family, and that the forgiveness, the pardoning of sin, did not include restoration of status quo in our relationship. In fact, I even dissuaded him from attending the wedding of one of my family members, saying that separation was best for everyone. And so this person is not our friend anymore. However, and this is where it gets a little complicated, especially for those of us in the church, those of us who are the church, those of us who are Christians. He's not my friend, but he is a Christian. And our kinship in Christ is the only bond that is left between us. So So he sent me the following text, actually just a few days ago, and I'll go ahead and read you what he wrote to me, and then I will write to you how I replied. My former friend writes saying, "Hi, Dave. I've been meaning to message you since my birthday. I was trying to find the right words. I had a dream two nights ago. I actually remembered it, which is rare. I was sitting in a church by myself and you walked in. I instantly began to cry when I saw you. When I looked up, you had your hand on my shoulder and you said not to cry and you forgave me. I remember looking up at you and then waking up. I'm not sure what it means, but I wanted to share. The burden, anger, and pain I caused you is heavy on my mind. Again, I'm sorry and pray that we can find peace." To which I replied, "We will. Peace with a lot of space. Inevitably, things will never be the same. Thanks for sharing this. I'll be giving a testimony on forgiveness on Sunday. Identities and offenses to remain anonymous. And your dream means a lot. To be honest, I go through a lot of mood changes, ranging from understanding to anger at different times. This is why I forgave you right away, because I knew in the big picture that's what God wants. And also, so I wouldn't be swayed by shifting emotions." My former friend feels forgiven. He feels the grace of God. And I'm very humbled by the work that God does in us and in others, even those who have become our enemies. In the song, "In Christ Alone," we sing, "And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me." I've learned that God doesn't just forgive my sin. He forgives the sin of the person who offends me, that of my enemy. And just as I need God's forgiveness to live, others will need my forgiveness for the same reason. And also that God does it all not through me, not through you either, but rather in spite of me, in spite of you. And I'm glad that though my emotions may toss like the waves of the sea, that three words yielded unto God were more than enough for God's Spirit to work. And all I had to do was stay out of God's way. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.